Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 49 of A Year-Long Conversation. Today, we're talking about the Democratic Party, how we can rebuild it. We got a special treat. We're going to take you through all 50 states. We're going to lay out a 50-state plan. This episode is going to be epic. Right, Michael?
Absolutely. Just like the other 48 we've done.
Those all were Lord of the Rings. This is Return of the King. This is everything statement-wise we wanted to say about the Democratic Party, where it's going, where it can go, what we hope to see. I only plan to talk for about 5 hours.
Perfect.
So the first post-inauguration episode, when we were convinced Hillary was going to win, I thought, oh, well, we'll do the post-inauguration episode. 49 will be mission accomplished. But this episode's titled Mission Unaccomplished, because when I started Alabama Liberal, it was 2011. So this is the sixth year of the site, and the Democratic Party is unquestionably in a worse position than it was when I founded the site. Things have gone nowhere but down. We had to rebuild. And I already see Democrats being overconfident. During Bush's first term, I would have bet money that he wouldn't have been reelected. And it's the only time in our lifetimes that Republicans have won the popular vote. The same people have been like, oh, Trump will never get reelected. He's out the door practically. We've only got to ride out the next 3 3/4 years, which is a long fucking time. They're the same people who said he would never win. And they're the same people who said George W. Bush wouldn't be reelected. And in just a minute, we're going to go into each individual state, talk about how do we make up that ground. But do you see Democrats already getting maybe a bit cocky?
Yeah, I do. Well, Trump's this, Trump's that. It doesn't matter. I mean, his voters are going to support him, and they know all of those arguments, and they don't care. Trump's a racist. Okay. Trump doesn't like Mexicans. Well, guess what? His voters don't either. You're really not making any headway.
And they really don't like Muslims. So when people kept saying, well, we won the travel ban, I'm like, I know that the judges voted the travel ban down. I'm not sure you won the hearts and minds of people that don't agree with you already.
If anything, it made them even angrier.
They phrase it as like Trump was trying to keep us safe, stop terrorists from coming in, and the Democrats have a red carpet rolled out to invite ISIS to the fucking Oscars. Democrats needed to make the case this travel ban was not about terrorism and safety. Like, I think they may be overthinking ISIS's plots.
Yeah.
ISIS is going to get people to go into a Syrian refugee camp. They're going to be there for 2 years getting vetted. Then they're going to come to the United States to buy some bottle rockets and shoot it at a post office.
Yeah.
To get a Syrian refugee into America is extremely difficult. When they get here, probably still watched very closely. NSA probably still listens to their phone calls. Homeland Security probably watches. I don't think it's really that easy for a Syrian refugee to go into a dorm and be like, hey, let me buy an assault rifle. What do you need it for?
Yeah.
It's definitely not for shooting up the mall. I don't want to use it for that. Trump's plots are watching Homeland and thinking, like, how can I stop Abu Nazir? Homeland, they're like, we're going to grow a fetus terrorist to take over the president from the inside. And when he's grown as a clone of the president, real ISIS plots are simple. We're going to get a big fucking truck. It's going to be like a bulldozer, and we're going to pull those people down. My 3-year-old son is over here playing with his G.I. Joes. He'll take like a truck and ram them. We run over the G.I. Joes. They stole that plot from a 3-year-old. And they mostly revolve around people who are already here. When you really look at the terrorist attacks, most of them have some kind of connection more to Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or Palestine. The travel ban was random. I mean, Sudan? Right. It's like you threw fucking darts at a map. It's like, yeah, Sudan. They must have hate each other. They can't even get to the United States. They're too busy. Like, my neighbor, he's got to go. And I know Trump would make the case of Somalia and Libya and Sudan and Syria, these countries, they have unstable governments. We can't trust them. You might think Bashar al-Assad is personally vetting the refugees on that side. Enemy governments that we don't trust, they're not the ones on the other side of this equation vetting the people. We're still in charge of it on that end. That all kind of just shows maybe somebody who doesn't understand how government works.
Yeah.
People that have been like, where have they been for the last month? You made a joke off the podcast, just got out of rehab. But our failed murder-suicide tactic, it didn't go through.
Yeah.
For the last month, I've been kind of posting things on message boards. Message boards better than social media. Social media is too primed to pounce on each other for the pettiest bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, people expect to get a badge. People on message boards don't talk that way because you're anonymous. You have an ISP address, but you don't put a picture up. So when nobody can personally see you take a stand, you're not as inclined to grandstand. But on message boards, for Republicans, what could he do to lose your vote? For Democrats, what could he do to gain your vote? And then for Republican voters, what would the Democratic Party have to do to win you back? I thought I would get like libertarian voters. I don't want to pay taxes ever. We should disband the federal government. Nobody who responded was saying that stuff. Nothing in there about we don't like gay marriage, we don't like abortion. Economics, they're fine with, like, health care and Social Security, Medicare, intentions. None of it was really what I would think of as substantial. Like, none of it was even policy-based.
Yeah.
It was, we don't let Black Lives Matter calling us racist. We don't let people who, when we're worried about Islamic terrorism, we don't want to be called Islamophobes. Gang violence, we don't want to be called xenophobes. It's easy to dismiss that. Nobody wants to be called a racist. The new thing is to be like, I'm not a racist. When you have a guy like that who comes to UCLA campus and he's got a swastika tattoo on his chest and that, like a KKK hood, I'm not a racist. Nobody thinks that they're a racist. You can have somebody really show up with Ku Klux Klan full outfit and be like, I'm just talking about European pride. But what they're saying, and then you really get on Twitter and you really get on Facebook, there's an avalanche.
I agree.
I decided to post a path back for the Democratic Party, 12 painful truths Democrats must accept to rebuild the party. Number one, Barack Obama is a person, not a political party. Democrats made him the party for 8 years, pretty much ignored the state level, which we're not going to do because we're about to get into that. Number two, Barack Obama won't save you, because I think when he was president for 8 years, Democrats thought, he'll save us from the Republicans' worst schemes. It's okay to go get Froyo whenever a judgeship race comes up. Now that he's not there, I see a lot of people kind of every day they're posting something political. And during Obama's administration, it was a lot more, I ate at a restaurant today, here's a picture of my selfies of people's food. And now it's like, here's Trump, here's what he's doing, he's a monster. People have already gotten a lot more political. It plays into Don Siegelman, just a little bit about Alabama. We've had episodes about him. He got semi out of jail. He's going to be under house arrest and a gag order. I've already reached out to his people for an interview, and they said he can't do anything until he gets off of house arrest. Can't give media. I think it's now a crime for him to be seen with a Democrat. Like, if he takes a picture of one, it's illegal. Obama did not save him. Obama never pardoned him. He never spoke about Siegelman's case. A lot of red state Democrats were on their own during his presidency. And when Siegelman was coming into the airport in Birmingham, it's the first time he's been in Alabama in over 6 years. He was in prison in Louisiana purposely to make it hard for his family and friends and lawyers to coordinate with him. He's at the Birmingham airport. It's so good to be home. Thank you, everybody, so much for coming. Kind of cheered up a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I hate the situation with him basically still having his hands tied. But, yeah, it was great to see him finally home.
Robert Bentley used state funds to keep a mistress. His mistress had a really high-paying government job. State cop that knew about it, Bentley fired him. This is all completely illegal. And Bentley's still governor because he's a Republican. Ben Luther Strange, the state attorney general that's supposed to investigate this, recently just got Jeff Sessions' Senate seat. That's definitely a quid pro quo.
It's literally the very definition of quid pro quo.
If Bentley were a Democrat, he would die in jail. At the same time, Siegelman is finally allowed to reenter the state of Alabama. Obama's in the Caribbean with Richard Branson, kite surfing, and they showed him out throwing a fake punch at Richard Branson. Meanwhile, Trump's threatening a nuclear war with China. I don't know. He was saying that here in the world. Three, the DNC head should have no baggage. I thought this one was obvious. Apparently it isn't. The DNC head should not be a controversial figure. Keith Ellison shouldn't be the DNC head. It should be Tom Perez. Four, nothing is more important than voting. You can protest. Yeah. You can do social media. None of this shit matters if you don't vote. Five, get the goddamn voter ID, because I've heard it definitely hurts Democrats. They passed that because they knew minorities and young people were less likely to have a driver's license, and they knew that. But at the same time, what are the Democrats doing about this? How fucking hard is it to go into a black church, put up a sign-up sheet, if you want a voter ID, I'm going to give you a ride. Take three fucking old ladies the Wednesday that courthouse is open and get them a goddamn ID. How hard is this shit? Does it take a NASA engineer to go sign people up for a fucking ID? Six, voter ID isn't really why Democrats don't routinely vote. And what you've had is a lot of people using that as an excuse. Well, it would be so hard to get a voter ID. Well, don't you have a driver's license? Yeah, but that voter ID matters. So if we just don't want to follow it. So who's your state representative? Say what now? They'll go to stage a protest against a racist sheriff, majority black or Latino district, and then they'll be like, well, you know, you vote for sheriff, right? Joe Arpaio. I think this is a success story. And Tom Perez, who should be the next DNC head, gave this success story. He goes, Joe Arpaio, we bitched about this guy. We're going on MSNBC to complain about him. Nobody thought, well, why don't we vote this guy out? So they organized and they fucking voted this guy out. I'm not saying it's always that easy. Lord knows they've tried with somebody like Scott Walker, but sometimes you can do something.
One of the bright spots about our government, when Republicans don't have their hand in gerrymandering it to death.
The flip side of that is that people like Trump. I don't know where Trump gets the balls to talk about all these illegal voting. I mean, do you not hear what we're saying? Democrats don't want to vote. I think he thinks there's like a horde of Mexicans sitting around hatching up a scheme. Oh, we're all going to get in there and I can legally vote. Everybody I know can legally vote. It's a pain. Nobody wants to do it. Number seven, the typical American is now different than the typical American voter. The typical American voter is older, whiter, more conservative. And that's why you see a country where people think all these opinion polls, people that are pro-marijuana, they're pro-abortion, they're pro-gay marriage, they're pro-this, they're pro-that. And then you look at the Congress, and it's so overwhelmingly Republican.
Yeah.
The people who actually show up and vote, they're retired. We're going to have a green economy revolution. We're going to have student loan relief. We don't give a shit about any of that. They're out of the workforce. They hadn't worked in 20 years. They talk about student loan relief. College was like 10 bucks 40 years ago. You could be like a waitress or whatever at that time period, and you could use the tip money you got to pay your college. You lazy-ass millennials whining about student loans. Why don't they get a job? I had a job when I was in college. It paid for my food only. They're minimum wage jobs, and they can't ever pay what a college degree costs. I think part of that is that people just literally have no idea how much college costs now when they say stuff like that.
Yeah.
They don't agree with Democrats about hardly anything, but they do like Medicare and they do like Social Security. So I think especially during the midterms, your majority electorate during a midterm is probably never going to be younger than 50. You need to emphasize things that appeal to older people. If you say, well, the Consumer Protection Bureau, that helps protect the elderly from people trying to do a reverse mortgage scam, overcharge them on Medicare. Conservatives have done a good job of making them feel insecure about social issues. Oh, God, the gays are taking over, the Mexicans are taking over, the Muslims are taking over. Everywhere I go, I see people that are not like me. The world has changed. I'm afraid. I'm at home. I can only watch CBS because that's the only place I can go to see non-gay people. You guys say Republicans want to get rid of your Social Security. They want to get rid of your Medicare. They want to get rid of the Consumer Protection Bureau. They do not care about you. They're fine if you get ripped off in a reverse mortgage scam. Conservatives have done social issues. Democrats got to do that with economics and old people. Number eight, gun control is not consistent with the rest of the platform. Episode 26 is probably one of my favorite episodes. Some people hated it, but gun control doesn't work for Democrats. And it's not just that it's politically unpopular in red states. It's that it's not even consistent with what they believe. When you look at the Democratic platform, everything is pro-legalization. Marijuana, gay marriage, transgender bathrooms, abortions, path to citizenship, online poker, euthanasia, stem cell research. Even some Democrats like myself are for legalizing prostitution. And when you have a guy who's got a shitload of guns, and he's sitting there like, okay, they don't care about anything else, but they want to put me in jail, you lose a lot of people with that. It's just going to be the same fucking thing as the drug war. The drug war had noble intentions, I guess, keeping people away from drugs, but it wound up putting one in three black men in prison. The same people that get caught up in the drug war get caught up selling guns. You're just going to have more people put in jail. Number nine, Beyonce is not important. They'd be like, you have me with elderly people and guns, not like top things. Climate crisis, elderly people, guns, Beyonce. But when you get into the culture wars, everything has become political. In the new Star Wars movie, Broadway musicals, the Super Bowl, all I cared about was wiping that stupid grin off Tom Brady's face. It was the New England Patriots were Trump. It was the same as Hillary. The Falcons got overconfident. They had a huge early lead. Nate Silver probably like, hey, it's 100%. Tom Brady went in the Super Bowl because of a new rule change that said it's sudden death, overtime, and then they won the Super Bowl that way through a new technicality. That's the fucking Electoral College. When I saw that, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Somebody on Twitter wrote, the Falcons won the popular vote. Somebody else put, Bernie Sanders would have won during halftime. First of all, they went in there and they pumped steroids into the ventilation system of the locker room. Because the first half of the game, they looked like some bastard who needed a Snickers. You know, in the Snickers commercials, they're like, you hungry? You not yourself? Dead on their feet out there. Probably had a fetal orgy for each other with steroids. It was a different team during the second half. I think Robert Kraft got on the phone and like, hey, referee, do you want your own private island? And be like, hey, I noticed your daughter owes $40,000 to the deck. You want some money? I think you probably bribed the referees. But watching them win technicality after technicality for Democrats, this is election night 2016 all over again.
Exactly.
Like, I don't watch the games. I think I've been to one pro football game of my life. Yeah. Saw the Minnesota Vikings play the Green Bay Packers when I lived in Minneapolis. All the black people were on the field because the Minnesota Vikings, they look like neo-Nazi skinheads. They're fans. And the Green Bay Packers came out there wearing, like, overalls, plaid shirts and shit. Like, I mean, it was like flannel and camouflage. I mean, the Green Bay Packers look like they just get some milk and a cow before they showed up at the game. They look like, damn, red. Hey, okay, I shouldn't have got so wrapped up in the Super Bowl. I shouldn't have just wasted like 5 minutes talking about it. Well, we got this big episode that's already going to be overly long. Not everything is political. And I remember when Jay-Z point where he sold Occupy Wall Street shirts. None of the profits were going to Occupy Wall Street. Like, he was just taking the money for himself. Beyonce and Jay-Z and people like that who were rich as hell be like, yeah, I'm down with the cause. Are you though? You should be writing checks to Occupy Wall Street, not cashing in on the movement by selling your own t-shirts that have nothing to do with them. Which brings me to 10, there is a liberal version of trickle-down economics, and it's called starfucker culture. And I posted this a couple of days before the Grammys, and when I talk about starfucker culture, I'm talking about, well, Will Smith wasn't nominated for Best Actor, we should protest. Who gives a fuck? This man is the richest black actor ever on the face of the earth, and you're upset that he didn't get nominated for an Oscar. You make minimum wage. Will Smith does not. They feel bad for him. And then with the Grammys, Beyonce was robbed for Best Album. She's the wealthiest pop star on the planet. She's married to the wealthiest rapper on the planet. She's won Grammys before. Do I really have to feel sorry for this woman for not winning specific Grammy category? I was supposed to give a shit about this?
Yeah.
Trickle-down economics. We've debunked that from the third episode of the podcast, that the more power and money and influence you give to big corporations, the more they'll create jobs with it. They oftentimes use it to stifle competition, create monopolies. That's been debunked. But what liberals have gotten caught up in is starfucker culture. This is part of the reason Bernie was so popular. It wasn't even so much about him. It was that he understood the message that you don't hear from a lot of other Democrats. Obama, I got caught up with this narrative of the white working class. They're so down and out. Things are so bad for them. Got back on Facebook thinking, okay, this will help humanize some of the Trump people. This will help kind of make me understand them. It did the opposite, because a lot of these people that I thought were doing so bad, like during the Obama economy, I thought they were huddled over a trash can fire, eating a possum, making, you know, lox soup. Most of these people are doing better under Obama than they ever did under Bush. And his proposals had a lot to do with that, but you never heard anything about it. The cash for clunkers? That was right at rural America. It's when they said, well, Obama ignored rural America. He didn't care about cash for clunkers. People in the inner cities, they don't even have a yard to put five cars in. Some of the student loan limits that he put into place, the Consumer Protection Bureau, certain things about Obamacare, these help white working class people more than they helped inner city people. He tried to give a stimulus package to a state like Alabama and they wouldn't take it. But I never heard this. When people would accuse it of this, it would be like, well, this is becoming a broader America. There's more diversity. I heard like, oh, wait a minute, dummies, I have done things for you. You just don't know about it. Democrats became somewhat embarrassed to talk about economic issues.
They did. You know, Obama really wasn't one that really talked up most of his proposals or anything. Trump, he wasn't out there bragging about every little thing that he did. I guess he just assumed that what he did, his actions would speak for themselves.
Yeah, I guess that's what he thought. He was wrong. I don't think that they really look at it as Barack Obama's the same party as Tim Kaine.
Well, does anybody?
Here was only Valentine's Day a few days ago. How do you think Tim Kaine spent Valentine's Day? I bet that was just raw sex appeal. I bet that was just falling out. But I think starfucker culture, limousine liberals, celebrities, that whenever people are talking about economic issues, their eyes kind of glaze over. Yeah, that's a real shame. But you know what's really a shame? Islamophobia. They cannot wait to get back to what they really give a shit about. And they don't even really care about it. How many Muslims do they really know? Probably not that many. It's kind of like just props. They're here to make a political point. I saw Van Jones. He went to the mother's house of one of the victims of San Bernardino, and he was asking them about Trump's travel ban. When she was talking about, well, my daughter was a good woman, she was a good person, he kind of glazed, he got sleepy, and it was like he just could not wait to get to the point where they got to shoot down Trump's travel ban. He's like, oh, they said that they don't agree with it. Well, you know, when that San Bernardino thing first happened, would you have ever went and spoken to that woman before Trump's travel ban?
Right.
Would you have talked to her? What are you going through? What's your pain? Do you have any feelings about Muslims? We've lost touch with our economic issues. Number 11, economic liberalism is popular. Stop ignoring that. We own economics. People agree with us. They like Medicare. They like Social Security. They like pensions, caps on student loans, free colleges. You can do some kind of a program like the Georgia State Lottery where an AB student can get so many years of their college paid for as long as they maintain a certain GPA. You should do that. I mean, it's making America better to do it that way. I mean, I don't want anybody to tell my son that he can't do something because he's half black or whatever it is. Like, I completely agree with that. But the other message has got to be, there's an economy that includes you. You have an economic future. the Trump voters, I think a lot of this just comes from the fact that like they feel this economic uncertainty, and it's a lot easier. They don't ever see a guy in San Francisco creating an app that's going to put them out of a job. They don't see a Wall Street banker. I don't like the cost of this company that I invested in. We could save a lot of money and inflate the stock price if we just fire off half these people and outsource that factory. They don't see these people. So what they see instead is a Mexican guy or something digging a ditch outside and think, oh, if it wasn't for that guy driving wages down, I could have had a high-paying job. So the economic uncertainty almost always is fueling the xenophobia.
Yeah, exactly.
12, Elizabeth Warren is not the next Hillary Clinton. Cory Booker is not the next Barack Obama. And Kamala Harris is not ready yet. In 2020, yeah. I personally think if Steve Bullock, Tammy Duckworth ticket would be good. And it may be Kamala Harris. She's a very gifted politician. I love Kamala Harris. She probably will be a great president one day. Those are some steps to get us back on the right path, which is 50-state tour. You ready, Michael? You all in?
I'm all in. But I hope the listeners are ready.
They're ready. Just a little bit about each state and what I think people can do. I mean, we're going to go in alphabetical order. They know our stance in Alabama by now. But they do have 2 Republican senators, 5 Republican congressmen, and Terry Sewell is the only Democratic from Alabama. When people say, how do you flip Alabama to a blue state? Well, it used to be somewhat blue because, like I said, in 2008, both houses of the state Congress were Democratic, and it was only the 2010 wave that wiped them all out. Most of it's racism. I think now that Obama's gone, it's going to alleviate it somewhat. But Democrats have to come up with a plan. Right now, there is no Alabama State Democratic Party. I picture you going into the Alabama Democratic Party headquarters, and there's just a parrot. You know, there's like a bird, and like nobody's been there, and like an empty phone's ringing. So they have to formulate a rebuilding plan, and I think it's got to start with the state party. Joe Reed and Nancy Worley, I think they have to move on. They got to do something else. I mean, they're not doing the job. Next state is Alaska. Alaska is kind of interesting because I don't care about it that much. Most people don't. But they have an independent governor. That's one of the only states in America that has an independent politician in a major position. Pretty much is a Democrat in a lot of ways, a soft kind of conservative Democrat, but still I think we'll take what we can get at that point. But when people say, how do you make Alaska a blue state? I think it already is. They just don't know it because when you look at Alaska, they get subsidized checks from the oil companies. When I said Alabama doesn't sell lottery tickets, Alaska doesn't either, but it's because the state oil companies are subsidized to the state to an extent. You get a small check if you live there from the oil companies, whether you work in the oil industry or not. That is a Democratic program. I doubt most Republicans would be for that.
I don't think they would.
When it comes to Arizona, do you have any thoughts about like how to make Arizona more of a blue state?
I hope John McCain dies.
He's not about the biggest spineless sack of shit you've ever... McCain is 80 years old. By the time he's up for re-election, he'll be 85. He can't run for re-election again. There's no way an 86-year-old man would be re-elected. What's he going to do? Be 92? And the time for more pudding in the cafeteria of Congress. This is his last chance. And so I think, why are you backing Trump? When the Democrats needed your vote for Betsy DeVos to block that, why not throw in with them? What have you got to lose at this point? What do you think his goal is, to die in office?
Probably.
I mean, because he gave all this bullshit about, oh, it's not right that Trump is a puppet of Putin. But when he could have thrown in with the Democrats to block Rex Tillerson, he didn't do it.
Right.
And we'll get to some other Democrats that are more responsible for that. But I think to turn the Arizona blue, huge Hispanic population, show them the case of Joe Arpaio. The Arizona sheriff got beat by Latino turnout. In 4 years, Arizona could be New Mexico, which we border the Mexican border. We border New Mexico. We border California. We should be a blue state. Up next is a truly hopeless state, Arkansas. When you look at there, you have a Republican governor, 2 Republican senators, Tom Cotton and John Boozman, and 4 Republican congressmen. So they have a straight flush. One of the only states in the Southeast where there's not even a black district. Every other state in the Southeast got that one black congressman.
Yeah.
But yet, Bill Clinton's from Arkansas. Was he just an aberration where it was just everybody else in Arkansas is a Republican? But that's how smooth Bill Clinton is. You know what? I'm feeling the Democrats all that. Like, what did he do? Go door to door. I'll fuck you. Will you vote for me? Yes, I will do it. What do you think? Well, how do we get back to that pub of magic?
I wish I knew. I mean, we're a couple of Democrats in Alabama. Could just be one of those rare cases.
Yeah, I still think Alabama may be more blue than like Arkansas just because of, you got Mobile, Birmingham, Huntsville, Auburn University. I should take that back. Whenever I see this about, oh, college entitlement and liberals run rampant, I'm like, let's just try going to Auburn because it was pretty conservative. But Arkansas, the closest they have to like a city is Little Rock, and I think that's pretty much a Cracker Barrel and a gas station. They don't have like a true city. And when you get to Arkansas, the roads, you don't even need to see a sign since you're entering Arkansas. The roads just get to where you could mix a fucking drink in your car because of how bad you're shaking. You get in there and you're in a space shuttle entering reentry. Like, that's how bad the damn car shakes. It's rough. It may come down to Walmart. The biggest industry in Arkansas is Walmart, which is based in Bentonville. The Waltons get so fed up with Trump. I think a great way to do it is the green economy. People say Walmart doesn't support the green economy. But if you told them their fuel costs could be free, one of their major costs is fuel costs, because unlike Amazon, they have physical stores that require a trucking system. They're one of the biggest truck distributors in America, because they have to have trucks constantly going across the globe, putting shit in new stores. If you told them these 18 wheeler trucks that you spend all this fuel on, they could be filled up for free. Like an electric car that runs on solar panels or mechanical energy converted to electricity. Or if you told them that, that might be one of the single best ways to get them to flip to the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that, you're halfway there in terms of flipping back Arkansas. If you got them and Tyson and a couple of the chicken plants, right? In other states, I think industry has to be excluded. We're going to get to West Virginia and the coal mines and stuff. But in that one case, where you have common cause, that may be the smartest way to go in some states that are dominated by one or two industries.
Yeah.
California, don't need to spend a lot of time on this one, because that's one of the only states in America that's safe for Democrats. But people say, well, the Democratic Party, what makes you think it's in trouble? We're going to beat Trump and all this shit. It ain't just about Trump. And it's not just about Hillary won the popular vote. I think that's part of the denial, is that the Democratic Party's not in trouble. Five states in America currently have the trifecta, where you get a Democratic governor, Democratic state senate, Democratic House of Representatives. With Republicans, it's almost half of the country. And they have about two-thirds of the governorships and two-thirds of the state legislatures. But California is one of those lucky states that's got a Democratic gov, Democratic state senate, Democratic House of Representatives. And that probably is not changing anytime soon. Do you have any advice for California and staying blue?
No.
Thumbs up or something like that. But Gavin Newsom, he's the lieutenant governor. He's smooth, slick, educated, kind of a young Kennedy. He's going to succeed Jerry Brown, probably. And some people could beat him, but I doubt it. And I think people are talking about him for the presidency. It's kind of funny that people talk about him. They talk about Kamala Harris. Thought it would be impossible for a Democrat from California to win the presidency. Democrats may be at a place where they're so depleted, you have to have an all-California primary. Because there ain't nobody else. Colorado is actually a true purple state. One of their senators is Republican. One's a Democrat. Five of their congresspeople are Republican. Four are Democratic. They do have a Democratic governor. Most states that don't border a coastline cannot say that. So they're unique in that way. But in most cases, they are a purple state that just happens to seem to go blue lately. Through the primaries of the Democratic Party, Bernie Sanders, he seemed very popular in Colorado. A lot of high college kids. Bring you free tuition, we can buy more weed. But Colorado is really a success story. It used to be a Republican state, safely Republican. They legalized marijuana. You might could use lessons from that state to help turn the rest of the West more Democratic.
Yeah. Well, another thing that's helped Colorado is they're getting younger. A lot of young people. Denver and the areas around Denver, it's becoming a pretty popular city for millennials to move to, partly because they want to go get stoned.
Keep it up. And in the next state is Connecticut. This is probably getting kind of boring for people because we're having all these blue states back to back. But Connecticut is one of those states that has a Democratic governor. They have a Democratic House of Representatives. They do not have a Democratic state senate because Republicans essentially fought them to a tie. So this used to be one of the six trifecta states. Can't really predict that the state senate will reliably vote Democratic. But I still think nobody at the DNC is just like, how do we win back Connecticut? Like, not really a big priority. The next one is Delaware. When I look at the numbers, they're kind of close. When you look at the state senate, House of Representatives, they're not as far apart as they should be. They could lose a few seats to Republicans, and they could lose one of their branches. I don't think you should just reliably consider them. I know they're small states, but those Senate seats matter. Every state in America gets two senators, and it doesn't matter if the two are from Ohio or Delaware. You have to keep pushing. If Delaware ever somehow wound up with a Republican, what do you think Joe Biden would do?
He would literally lead a coup.
Joe Biden has a one-man commando raid or something, and they're just like, Joe, were you doing this for the Democratic Party? No, I'm doing it for me. I could see Joe Biden in an action movie that Schwarzenegger would have been in like 30 years ago or something. He's got like the war paint on and the grenade. He's like, who the fuck is that? He kicks in the door. He's like, it's Joe Biden, bitch. And he throws a cigar down on the ground. What do you think about the idea that Joe Biden could run for president? I'm kind of for it, honestly.
I would be fine with it. Look, I'd rather have Joe Biden than freaking Bernie Sanders.
I'm okay with both of them running. The problem with last year's primary was it was Bernie and Hillary.
Yeah.
When you just had those two, it allowed Bernie to get a lot of attention and a lot of people thought he could win. It would be kind of like if you just had a primary between Mitt Romney and Ron Paul. Ron Paul fans would be like, he's going to get it. He's going to get it. I think a big primary would have hurt Bernie more than it hurt Hillary. I think if you'd have had 12 people out there, Bernie wouldn't have been able to soak up as much oxygen.
Right.
Next state, Florida. We got to win back Florida. I mean, I can't believe that it is a Republican state. You got a Republican governor. You have Marco Rubio. The House of Representatives, you got 16 Republicans and 11 Democrats. Both branches of the Florida legislature, the Senate, and the House of Representatives are both Republicans.
Yeah.
This should not be a trifecta state for the Republicans. Florida is a diverse state. Do you think Fidel Castro finally died will change politics in South Florida? Because people always said, well, the only Latinos in America that are reliably Republican and always go Republican are the Cubans in Florida because they hate Fidel Castro, they blame Kennedy, blah, blah, blah. Then that'll change. Like, Fidel's dead. Cuba's opening up. I mean, in 5 years, Cuba could look like the U.S. Virgin Islands or something like that. If that changes, do you think that the Cubans in South Florida will be like, why are we back at this party?
I don't know.
I don't think it'll change that much only because early Cubans that came to South Florida, they weren't just like anti-Castro. Like, these were the right wing that got tossed out. So they don't really believe they're rich. They came to America with a lot of money. That's how they were able to gain political influence, economic influence. That's so ingrained in them. They'd be like, well, if Bernie Sanders takes over, we'll be tossed out. We'll have to go back to Cuba, which will be right wing at that time. Georgia's the next one. I'm actually surprised Georgia's not more blue than it is. Atlanta is a big city. But when you look at their state government, Republican governor, two Republican senators, House of Representatives, 10 Republicans, 4 Democrats. You look at the Democrats, all 4 of them are black men. The Atlanta district and then the Lithuania district. And doesn't this really tell you a lot about the way that math is drawn up in Georgia and southern states?
Yeah, exactly.
I think whenever the Supreme Court said that the Civil Rights Act no longer needed to apply to the Southeast, that was pretty obviously wrong. That was a bad call. How do you make Georgia more blue? It already is blue. It's just that the voters are not blue.
So yeah.
You have to go all out for the governorship because that controls a lot of this shit. Nathan Deal is not going to do anything to help the black population in Georgia. He's not going to help these people vote. They have to do it themselves. I think if you could get a very popular Democrat, Tyler Perry or something like that, get a Democrat who had a snowball's chance in hell at taking that governorship, that needs to go all out to governorship.
Yeah.
Because that's just one of those things. You get that, you can open it up. A lot of Hollywood shit is filmed in Georgia. I'm in Los Angeles now, and I'm trying to be an actor or whatever. I look up casting notices. The new Transformers film, filming in Georgia. Walking Dead, filming in Georgia. You'll look at the casting breakdown, and they'll be like, hey, do you want an extra job? Yeah, I would love an extra job. Okay, great. You want to move to Atlanta? Wait, what now? You don't think about being from the Southeast, moving to Los Angeles. They're like, oh, all the jobs are in Atlanta. But they film a lot of stuff. Yeah. I think they said they're the third biggest state in terms of TV and film production, and I believe it. Just about everything you watch on TV, that little peach at the bottom that says made in Georgia. Hollywood could have an enormous influence in flipping Georgia. I just wish they would do it. The Citizens United ruling. Democrats could do the same thing Republicans are doing. We're just not doing it. The Koch brothers could take a state like North Carolina and make it more conservative. Why can't Steven Spielberg and Tyler Perry, all these rich people in Hollywood, why can't they make Georgia blue? They could. A state like Georgia is not terribly important to the oil industry. So the Koch brothers and people like that, they're not heavily invested in Georgia. Hollywood is really one of the few states that has like a reason to flip Georgia because they need this stuff to be them film. 20-30 high profile Democrats, they go in there and say, okay, we're going to pull our resources, we're going to have a $15 million super PAC, we're going to make these state representative races competitive. You could flip the state legislature. So I think the key to Georgia that's more blue is really Hollywood.
Very true.
Next state, Hawaii. Democrats need to have a 2-week summit in Hawaii and not just to relax. And you know, I mean, we've all seen Aloha. Forgetting Sarah Marshall in these movies. Hawaii looks nice, right? I think we'd like to go there. That needs to be our case state because Hawaii is probably the bluest state in America. Republicans are shut out of the Senate, the House of Representatives delegation, and their state Senate. When you look at their state Senate, they have 25 state senators and they're all Democratic. When you look at their state, it says Senate Majority Leader Jay Kalani English, Minority Leader, there is not one. There's no Republican ever gets in the state Senate. It's going to be that one guy. I'll be like, I guess you're the Minority Leader by default. It's the blue state in America, but it wasn't a state until relatively recently. So it whenever people say, well, Democrats are at their lowest point since the 1920s, they might be lower than that when you consider that Hawaii wasn't a state yet at that time. And that kind of balanced the numbers just a little, because the closest thing Hawaii has to a Republican is Tulsi Gabbard. And she's pretty fucking conservative. I don't like her, to be honest. A Democrat, at least for now. But how did this state become a shutout state for Republicans? And copy that. But if you're like, okay, here's what you need to do. Make Kansas an island. Put it in a moat. Fill it up with water. Get them to be an island. Fly in about 2 million Polynesian people. Have them live there. Okay, next state is the polar opposite, Idaho. You go from Hawaii, a shutout state for Republicans, to Idaho, a shutout state for Democrats. There's two Republican congresspeople. There's two Republican senators. Governor, their state legislature is so red it makes my eyes hurt. I'm looking at this like, damn, this is loud. They need to tone this color down. Idaho, Michael, thoughts?
God, boycott potatoes until they agree to vote Democrat.
Because apparently Idaho has the second largest Mormon population. So after Utah is Idaho in terms of their Mormon population. So they're routinely listed as like the most homophobic state in America after Utah. And yet their congressman was gay. Larry Craig got busted in the Minneapolis airport trying to blow a guy. I always laugh at that whenever I see these states where it's like, we don't like gay people. We do have like Larry Craig be like, homosexuality is disgusting. It makes me so sick I have to watch gay pornography every day just to know how dirty it is. Like, I just have to laugh at that. But it's always like right under their nose. Like, they'll have a guy like Larry Craig be like leading the crusade against gay people, and he's like, I need to investigate it further by having a group of homosexual men come in my office and close the door, shut the blinds, this Keystone Cop policing of homosexuality. Pretty much always been Republican. I don't think that'll change, really. We're not Republicans. We don't have to win them all. I guarantee you right now, Karl Rove is in some bunker being like, here's how we're going to win Hawaii. We're going to get them this way. Like, he's sitting there like fucking Hitler in Downfall, moving this army around that doesn't exist. So that we don't have to win Idaho. Fuck them. The party just took you out big billboards. Fuck you, Idaho, or something. Illinois makes me angry. This is a state that should not have a Republican governor. Bruce Rayner's an asshole. This guy doesn't get to win. He should be in the damn governorship. How do we win back that governorship? I say we have Tammy Duckworth run against it because she is an expert at beating assholes. She beat Joe Walsh, who should have never been a Republican congressman from Illinois. He was an asshole. He had deadbeat child support payments. He was a complete joke. She beat him. Then she beat Mark Kirk, bully-ass jerk. And now Bruce Rayner, who should never been governor, Tammy Duckworth, is going to beat him. You have her run, you take back the state. This state shouldn't even be a question. Like, we shouldn't even be looking at it. In terms of how to make it bluer, maybe get Rahm Emanuel out of there. I don't know why Chicago doesn't have a black mayor. Sure, Rahm Emanuel's a Democrat. I'm sure his mother is just like, oh, Rahm Emanuel's calling. Like, she screams his call to have a black mayor. And that may be your next big star. That could be the next governor of Illinois.
Yeah.
Indiana. I'll let you take this
one. Indiana. Set me up on this one, didn't you?
What if I take all the blue states? I think we should keep doing what we're doing. Michael, you think Kansas? No, I think Indiana. I don't fucking know. Look, they have a Republican governor. Mike Pence is from Indiana. I think that tells you all you need to know. But right now they got Eric Holcomb as governor. They have two senators, Todd Young and Joe Donnelly. Joe Donnelly is a Democrat. My kudos to Joe Donnelly. It's not always been this way. They've had Democratic senators and Todd Young's other Republican senators. Their House of Representatives delegation is 7 Republicans, 2 Democrats. Sadly, when you get into their state legislature, it is like 41 Republicans to 9 Democrats. Their House of Representatives is just about as bad. I can't just punt on all the red states, right? Like, I can't do what Democrats have been doing and just say there's no plan, there's no hope.
Yeah.
Our real best shot at red states, not usually state legislatures, it's the governorships. Talking about both sides of my mouth, because on the one hand, that's part of the problem, is that we always go for the big position. Yeah. For 8 years, it was presidency, 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 and then now it's all governorship, governorship, governorship. But of course, states are really controlled by state legislatures. Most of these people are not full-time. In Alabama state legislature, they only work 30 days out of the year, and yet they have an enormous amount of power. I mean, 30 days out of the year to draw a $50,000 to $60,000 salary, and most of these people have other kind of jobs. So you don't think about it being like, people who work 30 days a year control my life, but they do. But at the same time, Democrats, they just don't think that way. It's hard to get them involved in state legislatures, and especially a state like Indiana, where there's not really a very diverse state. For the foreseeable future, our party is going to struggle in places like this. But I think you got to win the governorship. Probably be somebody we've never heard of. Like, it'll be a basketball star or something like that. You know, like, it'll be a guy who, like, I set the record for most free throws of what you're in. There should be a Democratic governor now because Pence was so unpopular. They think if Trump hadn't picked him as his running mate, if Pence had run again, he would have been beat. So a lot of people think that that's kind of a way around having a Democratic governor. Pence, he couldn't say, I've done such a shitty job that I'm not going to run again. If you don't have the confidence to run again in your home state for re-election, how can you be vice president? That was a way to kind of get out of probably him getting beat by a Democrat. So I think we came close.
Right.
How about Jim Gaffigan? He's from Indiana. Maybe get him to run as a Democrat. My platform is to have more bacon, and everybody's like, he's the most popular governor we've ever had. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He asked for cheesecake.
There's another dark horse candidate from Indiana, and that's Leslie Knope.
Parks and Rec. I watched that show from episode one all the way to the end, and I never had the slightest bit of interest in the state it was set in. But then now that I'm like actually looking up Indiana, I'm like, how'd they even get away with this show? Because it'll be like the farce. Because at the end of that show, Leslie Knope becomes governor of Indiana as like this progressive.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec was a comedy, but it wasn't science fiction. And now that I'm looking at like their state legislature, I don't see how it's possible. What if Amy Poehler like resurrects the Leslie Knope character to run in Indiana and vote in a fictional character as her or something? And she gets, she's like, so does this mean I can't do movies anymore, or what's the thing going on? I know we've spent like 10 minutes on Indiana. I don't know enough about Indiana to even, like, I don't know what their industries are. I've never met anybody from Indiana. I've never been there. There hadn't even been like a layover in Indianapolis when I'm flying through middle America. It may not even really exist. What if Indiana is just some tax write-off state that some billionaire made up? You get to Illinois and Ohio or whatever, there's like nothing in between all these states that are around Indiana, and somebody's just like, oh, we're just going to put this here and call it a state. Nobody will know the difference because they never go there. Once we route the planes from O'Hare Airport to Cleveland, nobody will have the need to go to Indianapolis. Don't know enough about it. Can't say the same for the next state, Iowa. Iowa is just a weird place because it seems like a progressive state, but it isn't. They have a Republican governor. They have two Republican senators. They have three Republican congresspeople. Only one Democrat, lone Dave Loebsack. What if we're like, Dave Loebsack, this is your time to shine. And we go ask him, like, how can we turn Iowa blue? He's like, quite frankly, people forgot I was in Congress. And they have one of the all-time assholes in Congress, Steve King. He's not in my top 10 in terms of most loathsome because most of those spots are occupied by Alabama people. And, but Steve King has got to be in the top 15. I mean, he's really a jackass. When Michelle Bachmann went out, I thought, if Paula's running everything else, he should pull her out the fucking door and leave. But he didn't do that. And still in Congress. And people say, Iowa's like the Canada of America. People are so friendly and nice. I'm like, well, tell that to Steve King because he's a fucking dick. I can't believe that clown's still there. But how to make it more progressive? I mean, Iowa's an ethanol state. It's just a weird state because the Democrats in that state are progressive, but the Republicans in that state are like Old Testament. Whenever they have the presidential primary and they go to the Iowa caucus, the Democrats are out there like, okay, here's our agenda. The Iowa State Fair should have a transgender restroom. And then they go over to the Republican side and be like, it's Tuesday, is it coming? They're handling steaks and shit out there, and they got Iowa, so they get all this fatty food. They're eating a corn dog in one hand with a snake in the other. I don't know how you bridge that yet. I think that the liberals are just going to start having more kids.
Yeah.
They just got to outfuck their way into winning Iowa because it's a civil war basically going on between the snake handlers and the progressives. One of the things I saw in the New York Times about how to win over these states were like, Democrats have got to spread out. We got to start moving to places. And Iowa, total population, about 3 million people. Which I know that may sound like a lot of people, but that's like the city of Los Angeles. If you have these states where they're close and they're not that many people, if you took 100,000 liberals out of Illinois and Minnesota and some of these states and they moved to Iowa, you could tip the whole state. What if we showed Iowa and they do that? It's like a refugee resettlement, but it's for liberals. Liberals from California are like, okay, we're going to, like 10,000 of us are going to move to Iowa. We're going to flip the state. And they do that, and then it shows it like right now, and you've got Joni Ernst. I castrate pigs for a living, and then 5 years from now, they've got now, and Laverne Cox has got the Senate seat from Iowa or whatever. But like, I'm so proud to be the first black person to live in Iowa. Oh, yeah, transgender. So right after that, Kansas. I don't fucking know. Iowa is 3.1 million people. Kansas is only 2.9 million people. Bigger area, but there's less people. Imagine you could do the same thing. You could have some liberals move to Kansas because it just seems like a numbers game at this point. But Kansas is sad. Republican governor Sam Brownback sucks.
Terrible.
Two Republican senators. You got three Republican congresspeople. So it's a straight flush in terms of their representation. Needless to say, they control both branches of state government. The Northeast used to be solidly Republican. The Southeast used to be solidly Democratic. They kind of flipped over the years. But the Midwest has kind of always been Republican. As long as there's been a Republican Party, they've pretty much been Republican. But that's where all the effort goes. People go, how are we going to win back Kansas? How are we going to win back Nebraska? I'm like, we've been win back. Everything has changed in the two parties. parts. The two parties have flipped on literally everything, but the Midwest is just like, well, once we pick a party, we stick to it. I mean, they just feel like they've changed with the party more than like they switched to a different party. Much bigger effort should be put on how to win back the southern states. You're Alabama liberal, of course you believe that. I think the western states hold a lot of promise. We'll get to Montana in just a little bit, but I think some of the western states hold promise. Nevada, Montana, states like that. I think the southeast holds promise. But a state like Kansas, I don't know that you will really win that back.
Like you said, win it back to what? To Kansas's founding.
Now, I know for a fact that our Kansas listener out there, if we have one, and she's screaming at it, Kathleen Sebelius was the governor before Obama picked her to run Obamacare, be the Health and Human Services Secretary that implemented Obamacare. She fucked up the website. She's dead forever. She might as well move to Canada. You're just like, oh, yeah, because the Obamacare website rollout was a little bit flawed, she's out. At the same time, Kathleen Sebelius, she was a Democrat and a fairly progressive Democrat, not good Joe Manchin Democrat. But I think she might have been more the aberration than Sam Brownback is the aberration. There's literally a book called What's the Matter with Kansas. That seems to be patient zero for trickle-down bullshit. People putting social issues above economic interests. Next state, Kentucky is kind of an interesting southern state because it doesn't have a very big black population. But at the same time, it was the last real holdout state for the Democratic Party in the Southeast. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Until recently, they had Steve Beshear, a Democratic governor, and they had the lone legislative chamber in the Southeast that was Democratic, the Kentucky State Senate. When Obama took office in 2008, Alabama, as I said, both houses of their state Congress were Democratic. The area that we're from, now a conservative place, the Democrats still controlled most of the Southeast in terms of the legislative chambers. 2016, Kentucky was the last holdout in terms of they had a Democratic governor and a Democratic state Senate. Both of those lost to Republicans. I wonder what happened.
Yeah.
When you look at a list of the Republican Party, 5 Republican congresspeople, only one Democrat, Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul, both from Kentucky. Mitch McConnell, the head of the Senate. They don't give that position to people that they think are going to lose re-election. People like Ashley Judd talk about running against him. A lot of people thought Alison Grimes might beat him the last time. What did you think about Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, being the new Secretary of Transportation?
No comment.
Now, in a normal cabinet, like if it had been Hillary and she wanted Chuck Schumer's wife to be the Secretary of Transportation, that might raise a few eyebrows. But in Trump's cabinet, she's the least objectionable. She had the fewest conflicts. Only Trump's cabinet could the Speaker of the Senate's wife be the least conflict. She was an Undersecretary of Transportation. She had a cabinet position in Bush's administration. But how'd she get 93 votes? Like, why did all the Democrats vote for her? And it's because, oh, wow, she has actual fucking experience. What if Trump, like, he's got, I didn't know she had actual experience. Fire you. Anyway, for how to turn Kentucky blue, some former basketball coach or basketball player for the University of Kentucky needs to run against Mitch McConnell as a Democrat.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think Ashley Judd could beat Mitch McConnell if she ran against him in a straight-up race?
She's pretty popular. She's a diehard Kentucky basketball fan. She's at every game. She's got the young vote, maybe.
We move into Louisiana. Louisiana is another southern state where Democrats, we may have a real hope at this one because you got the city of New Orleans, probably the most liberal city in the Southeast.
I would agree with that.
Which I think is why Bush thought it was okay to let it. When Hurricane Katrina happened, people were, should we even rebuild New Orleans? Republicans were seriously talking about like losing an American city to rattlesnakes. It's because it's the most liberal city in the Southeast that they even debated about whether to re- Do you think that was outrageous, people even debating about rebuilding the city?
Yeah.
We'll just put a pack of stray wolves and whoever wants to live there take it over. Want boats running around be like, we're looking for women. 2 Republican senators, 5 Republicans in Congress, only one Democrat, but they have a Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards. If you see John Bel Edwards' picture, you know that this is a guy who probably has the goods in terms of, because he's a fucking ugly guy. This is probably one of the ugliest Democrats I've ever seen. So like the fact that this guy can be, well, what does that have to do with anything? Oh, I don't know. We're just the party of Gavin Newsom, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris. Like, our people are good looking. Give me a fucking break. Like, of course, image matters for Democrats. That's how we got that image of being a little bit shallow and vain and starfucker culture. But you've also got Cedric Richmond. He's a congressman from New Orleans. He could be a rising star in the party. I mean, you could build him up. I think this is a state we have a real chance of winning in. Part of that's Hollywood as well. Aside from Atlanta, Hollywood also does a lot of filming in New Orleans. They've been a real push to film things there to promote the city, promote the state. A lot of times New Orleans may not have what they're looking for, so they may have to go to Baton Rouge. They may have to go to some of the other cities in New Orleans, some of the swampier areas that are outside the city, because New Orleans is a great place to film a horror film. The swamps in New Orleans are scary as shit. I mean, their character. Yeah. So if you go out there, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be a great axe murder movie. No, it's a romantic comedy. Julia Roberts falls in love with Swamp Thing out here in the middle of the there's a crocodile too in the background. He and Hollywood can have a huge impact. As I said with Georgia, it's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie built a vacation home in New Orleans. Probably the reason they divorced. If you had a couple celebrities that really took an interest in politics there, really started learning about government and like, hey, you know, this congressperson, I want to fund their campaign, I want to fund that campaign. But I think it comes down to what some people in Louisiana care about, gun control. And it comes down to, again, this is going to keep tripping up a lot of Democrats. I know a lot of people in California, New York or whatever, they hear me say that. I've mentioned my experiences before going on dates in New York with girls, and they'd be like, well, have you ever fired a gun? I'm like, I had a gun in Alabama. They're like, who did you kill with it? Well, nobody. They'd be like, are you going to kill me? I'm like, no, I just had a gun. There's a real phobia of guns with the Democratic Party, and it's going to keep tripping people up. But in Louisiana, you got a lot of gun nuts. But if you tell them, we're not going to take your guns, it's a ripe state for Democrats to take control of. Right now, it's being suppressed, and right now, a lot of people just don't care about politics. They don't feel like people are speaking to them, talking to them. You need a better Louisiana State Democratic Party to really get out there and push the vote. Moving on to Maine, Republican governor. But you get to their congressional representation, you have Susan Collins, a Republican, but kind of a moderate Republican. I think she's one of the few that is an actual moderate Republican. You got John McCain and Lindsey Graham, and they puff each other up like, oh, we're going to block Trump on this, and then when it comes down to it, they go fuck each other in the men's bathroom. Suzanne Collins, like, one of the very few Republican senators who blocked one of his cabinet. Then you got Angus King, who's an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats, but he doesn't always vote with the Democrats. I mean, the way things are going with Bernie, Angus King will be the next one to run for president on the Democratic side. Then you got the House Representatives delegation, one Democrat, one Republican. So they're really evenly split. And Paul LePage, governor of Maine, he is really an asshole. He's Trump Jr., basically. You probably saw one of Trump's tweets. He's like, this is what I think when I take a crap. I'm on the toilet thinking this stuff. And Trump's saying it out loud. He speaks to me. You know? I'm not a bit surprised he backed him in the primary, but this guy should be so unpopular. Back to back, Louisiana, Maine, these are the two I would focus on the most because I think you can take them. We should really have Maine to begin with because of the location, the people. I don't know how they let a state like this get away from them. Totally evenly split. You look at their state Congress, one of their branches is they have one extra Republican, the other one has one extra Democrat. They are really neck and neck in terms of their state Congress. Democrats, maybe, what do you think? Go out there and write vote Democrat on some lobsters or something?
Yeah.
Canadians could relocate to Maine and make it more blue if they wanted to do that, get citizenship that way. Some of it is climate crisis. A state like Maine is deeply affected by climate crisis because of their industries. A lot of a big industry for them is fishing, the fisheries.
Yeah.
Hey, your lobster trade is going to be wiped out because of the fucking pollution ruining these oceans or the rising sea levels or these things. Or, hey, this beautiful beachline coast that you got here, you're going to start losing more and more of your homes and more of your property. So the ocean is going to lose your state's way of life. I think it's always talked about, oh, in Kentucky, we're going to lose 5 coal miner jobs, so we can't have any progress on climate crisis. That needs to be counteracted with, well, in Maine, they're going to lose 5,000 fishery jobs if we don't do something. Yeah. Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi, the Gulf Coast region was decimated by the BP oil spill. Democrats should have used that BP oil spill as a classic example of 1,000 fishermen out of work. An entire region devastated the local economy to take that to a state like Maine and scare people into saying, if you don't back environmental regulation and you don't do something about this, fisheries are going to be gone. One of your number one industries is going to be wiped out. You can begin to start scaring people into voting their economic interests. Should have already probably been doing this.
Yeah.
Maryland is next. Another state makes me angry. They have a Republican governor. There's no way in hell that Larry Hogan should be governor of a state like Maryland. Larry Hogan won against a black guy. They had a black candidate for governor. There's been very, very few states that have had a black governor. Deval Patrick, the governor of Massachusetts, David Patterson of New York became a black governor by default because Elliot Spitzer had to resign, or he never would have. Nobody would have said, give me that blind guy who looks like he's stoned most of the day. Nobody would have said, I'm going to vote for that guy for the governor of one of the biggest states in America. Two Democratic senators, Chris Van Hollen, Ben Cardin, they have 7 Democrats in the House of Representatives and 1 Republican. You know that one Republican's like, hey guys, can we carpool anyway? They're lone Republican. Andrew P. Harris from Takiesville. That sounds like he made that. What if Republicans start making up districts just to take congressional seats from Democrats? State Congress, overwhelmingly liberal. Maryland and the next state in our alphabetical list, Massachusetts, the state Senate and the state House, they have such a majority that they have a veto-proof majority. So their state Senate can pass something, whether Larry Hogan and Charlie Baker veto it or not. They're the most popular governors in America, and they have no power. That's what Republicans are perfect at, being figureheads. We have a Republican governor. He's doing a great job, and it's just because he can't do anything. In Massachusetts, their state Senate, 34 Democrats to 6 Republicans, and their state House of Representatives is 126 Democrats to 34 Republicans. Obviously, they have Elizabeth Warren, they have Ed Markey, and their House of Representatives are 9 Democrats. They have a straight congressional flush. They should have a trifecta. Massachusetts and Maryland both. These should be trifecta states. I can't believe that they're not. Both of these governors, they probably will be reelected only because they haven't been able to do a damn thing. They can't fuck up a state that they're not really in control of. So you got Charlie Baker and Larry Hogan sitting on their fat asses. All they have to do is show up every now and then and be like, I don't support Trump's immigration ban. This man's a hero. Now compare that to a state like New Jersey where Chris Christie's fat ass has been able to run it in the ground. The Charlie Baker and Larry Hogan's playbook to success. Go golfing every day. Ben Affleck, if you've ever wanted to put your money where your mouth is, how about running? Yeah. How about being a Democratic senator? How about being Charlie Baker? Next state is Michigan. Looking at Michigan closely, it should not have been as big a surprise as it was that Hillary lost. They have a Republican governor, and their House of Representatives, they have 9 Republican and 5 Democrats. That's also a case of gerrymandering. Like, I don't think there's any way in hell people would say Republicans outnumber Democrats 2-1 in Michigan. How they have 9 Republicans and 5 Democrats in the House of Representatives, you probably get really a close look at these districts, and you probably have the entire city of Detroit as one district, and then right beside it, there's probably like 2 houses with white people in it that have a district.
Yeah.
Their state Senate, 27 Republicans to 11 Democrats. Their state House of Representatives is also Republican. Maybe it shouldn't have been that big a shock that Hillary lost. Jennifer Granholm was a while ago. Michigan is one of those states Democrats used to own, and the 2010 Tea Party wave kind of knocked it out. We need a wave of our own to come in and start reclaiming these states. The auto bailout, saving all those jobs, GM, that should make an impact. But I'm afraid, too, you've got Trump threatening Ford if they build a plant in Mexico, and then they decided, oh, well, we're not going to build that plant in Mexico. My fear is that the state may become more conservative just because it looks like Trump is saving jobs.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't matter that Barack Obama saved all those jobs in the first place by not letting GM and Buick go bankrupt. Without the auto bailout, you wouldn't have corporations to talk about going to Mexico. It doesn't seem to matter as much as like, oh, Trump, they were going to build a new plant in Mexico with 50 people, and now they're not going to build it at all. I'm like, wait a minute, how does that create any jobs? Do you think that Trump may make people feel like he's doing more to help Michigan than Obama did?
Probably.
Michael Moore pointed out how Trump would win the presidency when he comes out there and says, if Ford tries to build a new plant in Mexico, I'm going to ship all their cars with a 25% import tax. He goes, it was music to their ears. Clinton, they associate with NAFTA, they associate with job loss, they associate with elitism, and she never came to Michigan, she never campaigned, you know how true any of that stuff is, but they associate her with part of the reason we lost our jobs. I was watching Trump's inauguration, one line about the invisible of this country shall be invisible no longer. Cut to the crowd, and there was one woman who was like, oh my God, tears were pouring down her face. You could see where he's kind of like their Obama.
Yeah.
Because Obama made people feel seen. He made it feel like you had a future. All the black people who've been voting Democratic and felt like they weren't getting anything out of it. And Obama comes out and's like, I understand you. Michelle, we're from Chicago. We get you in a way that Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, LBJ, like all these guys from rural areas, Trump made rural people feel that way. For all this time, we've had NAFTA and trade wars and all these things that weren't going our way. I appreciate the little people. What if you threw a handful of gold coins out in the audience? Minnesota, the place I live, and I talked about it before on the podcast, kind of an odd place. Keith Ellison, the only Muslim in Congress. District was right beside Michelle Bachmann, the most Islamophobic member of Congress. And it's a state that feels that way. Their Democratic Party is not even called the Democratic Party. It's called the Democratic Farmers League. More folksy and rural sounding. Their senators, Amy Klobuchar and Al Franken, these are two stars. Maybe be vice president. that one day. Franken, he was close to Norm Coleman when he ran the first time. So a lot of people were like, oh, Al Franken, he stole that race from Norm Coleman. I'm like, you know, what is it with Republicans and this shit? Yeah. Minnesota barely has five Mexicans in the entire state. What are they doing? Bust them from Mexico to come vote there? Before Mark Day, you had Tim Pawlenty, who was a Republican. Before Tim Pawlenty, you had Jesse Ventura, who was an independent slash nut job. Minnesota is interesting because it kind of goes all over the place politically, but right now, both branches of their legislature are not Democratic, so they have a slight Republican edge. I'm afraid if a Republican takes over that state, then it's over, basically, because Mark Dayton's the only thing making that state truly progressive. He did the opposite of what Scott Walker did. He raised taxes in Minnesota. He did a couple of economically progressive things. Scott Walker cut taxes. The businesses that were based in Minneapolis, Target, Best Buy, Fortune 500 companies, he thought they'd move to Wisconsin just to get a tax cut. But they already get a huge tax package the way that the taxes are designed in Minnesota. Mark Dayton, he just passed taxes that they feel like probably wouldn't have affected them anyway. And now Minnesota's economy is thriving. Wisconsin's economy is in the middle of the pack. Once again, it blew up on them. Mississippi, this state has the highest black percentage in America. Over a third of the state is black, disenfranchised from voting, the access to voting, a lot of trickery and stuff like that. So a lot of people in Mississippi probably don't vote. And that's how you wind up with a state that's the blackest in America. But they have Phil Bryan as their governor, Thad Cochran and Roger Wicker, two Republicans as their senators, three Republicans in the House, and only one Democrat. When it comes to Mississippi and turning that blue, that is a neighboring state to Alabama. So you think there's anything we could do?
I don't know.
Registered more of the black percentage, or at least give them a candidate that they could believe in. I could see black people showing up to vote, and they're just like, oh, what are you doing here? It's a higher minority turnout. I think it's a little bit better candidates. Some of the casino towns, I think, are maybe attracting a more liberal demographic. But it's also a tough place because there's not any true cities. I still think your odds are better at flipping Georgia, Louisiana, maybe even Kentucky than Missouri. A Republican governor, but before him, Nixon was a Democratic governor. And now the current governor is a Republican, so they've moved backwards. They don't have a Democratic state legislature. Claire McCaskill, who's a Democrat, House of Representatives, Lacey Clay, Emmanuel Cleaver, these are Democrats. Everybody else is a Republican. They have St. Louis. That comes back to the problem of voting. Democratic Party, how do we get voter ID? We want to vote some of these people out. Once again, you enfranchise the minority population. You reach out to the people you can. I mean, we've gone through all these states and haven't talked about union voting. There's a lot of people that are union voters in Missouri that probably feel like the party has left the economic message. Re-embrace some of that Bernie Sanders economic message. You might have some things changing in that state. Up next is an interesting place, Montana. Now, Montana is the state that we both kind of wanted to talk about because people say Steve Bullock, possibly a good candidate for president. Montana is a state that it should have a Republican governor, but they don't have one, and they haven't had one for a while. Brian Schweitzer was Democratic governor before Steve Bullock. Steve Bullock's there. John Tester is a Democratic senator. Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney, usually the Lieutenant Governor or Attorney General runs for governor the next cycle, so the Lieutenant Governor's a Democrat, too. What do you think that secret sauce in Montana is? Why does it seem so much more Democratic than all the states around it?
I have no idea. This is one of those states that when you asked me if there was any that we wanted to focus on, I believe this is one of the ones I mentioned. It's unique.
And I can't pin it down because Montana, one of their big industries is coal, which the Democrats hate. They were going to have a coal pipeline to Washington, and the Democratic governor said, we don't want that dirty shit. So a Democrat literally hurt jobs in Montana. There's no film production there. It's not like Louisiana and Pennsylvania and Georgia where they have a lot of film production. Montana has no reason to be a Democratic state. Maybe the Democrats, we're going to have to get to that Schweitzer guy, Steve Bullock, and John Tester. And John Tester's not even a half-assed Democrat either. When I looked at who was voting on the cabinet position, John Tester had a good record of voting against people. I mean, he's not a Joe Manchin Democrat. He voted against half of these nominees so far.
Yeah.
Maybe there's so few people that live in Montana, like the 10 people who live there forgot that there's Democrats that are representing them or something. Like, we don't vote. They've had Democrats for like 100 years because there's only a handful of people that vote. Like, there's one cabin out in the woods that's got a big Bernie sign out in the yard. They're like, yeah, vote for Steve Bullock or whatever. They're like, thank you for your two votes. It really put me over the top. The guy who runs as a Republican just votes for himself.
Yeah.
I don't know what that secret sauce is. I think the Democrats need to take a week in Hawaii and a week in Montana And I don't just mean to go to the beach and fish or whatever and figure out what that secret sauce is. What's turning people on to the Democratic Party in Montana? Because if you can win Montana, you should be able to win Alabama.
Yeah.
What if there's just a bunch of Canadians, like, sneaking over the border and voting and then going back? I'm going to say that shit, and then Trump's sitting there with the headphones like, finally, I found the proof I'm looking for. Alabama liberal Senate, even a Democrat agrees with me that Canadians are voting. Do you think Trump listens to Obama's phone calls with the NSA? Calling somebody and being like, Trump is such a jackass. Can you believe that guy? He's got the NSA headphones on. Let me turn it off. He's like, no, I need to hear this. And his eyes get all big. He looks like one of those girls who finds out their best friend hates them. The next state is the opposite of Montana, Nebraska. We have a Republican governor, Pete Ricketts. The Democrats can't beat a guy called Ricketts. Doesn't even sound appealing. They're like a fucking disease. They have two Republican senators. They have three Republican congresspeople. The only interesting thing about the whole state of Nebraska is that their legislature is unicameral, meaning they don't have a state senate and a state house. They just have one body, and the body is nonpartisan. They don't do a political party. If they do political parties, it'd be like 48 Republicans to one Democrat. I wish states that were purple are more competitive. Like, I wish Ohio would do this no political parties thing. But I mean, a state like Nebraska, they're like, we're going to get rid of political parties because we don't want the division. Because we had that one guy who was a Democrat, and he was really cramping the battle. Nevada Republican Governor Ryan Sandoval, although a lot of people say he's a moderate, Harry Reid kind of mentored him. He's a little bit more on the reasonable side of the spectrum. Catherine Cortez Masto, brand new. She took over Harry Reid's Senate seat. What do you think about the job Chuck Schumer's doing? Do you think people miss Harry Reid? They're kind of like, I don't think we appreciated Harry Reid.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Harry Reid, he had a competitive seat. Like, it wasn't guaranteed that a Democrat from Nevada could keep on. But Chuck Schumer, he'd have to kill somebody to lose his Senate seat. Like, New York is completely safe for him, but yet he's not fighting the way Harry Reid would fight.
Right.
Like, what do you think about this Neil Gorsuch guy? You know, I have to play about five rounds of golf with him before I vote for him. You know, I really need him to appear to that golf game before. I mean, I'm just like, you shouldn't even be fucking considering this person.
Yeah.
Merrick Garland had that seat stolen from him. I'm with Bill Maher. Protest the hearing, don't come. Merrick Garland should have this Senate seat. It was stolen. It doesn't matter who Neil Gorsuch is. Nevada is one of those states, like Montana, where we could flip it because I think the gaming in Las Vegas. But the problem with Las Vegas is that the casino magnates, your Sheldon Adelson, your Steve Wynn, they're all conservative.
Yeah.
They should already appreciate the Democrats because they're more pro-gaming. A lot of your social conservatives, like in Alabama, have kept gaming out. Harry Reid, for example, was pro-online poker. You would think gaming and Democrats would be a natural alliance. It's kind of like pizza companies. Why does Domino's and Pizza Hut and Papa John's, why are they all for the Republicans? You run on a pro-prostitution platform, the whole state will flip blue in 2 weeks. They have some legalized cat houses, and they can make that their cottage industry the way Colorado has done marijuana. Moving on to New Hampshire, the state that Trump said you had Massachusetts people coming to New Hampshire and voting illegally with no fucking evidence.
Right.
They have two Democratic senators. Trump goes, well, there's really just one. Like, he won't acknowledge the other one, like, they're even greatest out of the criteria. He turns around. He won't talk to her. They have a Republican governor, but two Democratic senators and two Democratic House representatives. I always wondered how that works, like how a state could have two Democratic senators and a Republican governor. You'd think the same people would be voting. So an interesting state in that way. New Jersey, another state that should not have a Republican governor. New Hampshire probably shouldn't, but New Jersey definitely should. These badasses sitting there, literally scarfing up taxpayer dollars for the Democrats. Bob Menendez and Cory Booker are the senators. You like Cory Booker. You think he might be the 2020 answer, right?
I like him. My problem with Democrats is we see like some young star and it's like, oh, he's got to be president. Obama in the Senate for what, 2-3 years. Cory Booker's only been in the Senate a couple of years. You mentioned Kamala Harris. She's only been in the Senate literally a few weeks. Let them get some work done in the Senate before we let them retire at 55 years old.
Right. Because Republicans go the opposite way. But Trump was their young star at 68.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, he only got a couple of liver spots. He's a young buck out there. Trump had more energy. I mean, look at their last candidates, Bob Dole, John McCain, Mitt Romney, and then Trump comes out there, he's like, I've got balls. They're like, we love it, testosterone. It invigorated the party to have somebody like Trump, and he's an old man. And the Democrats, they'd be like, he's 68 years old. There's no fucking way we can run this guy for president. I think Kamala Harris would be a great president. I did have to kind of laugh before she had even won the Senate seat. They were talking about her for president.
Yeah.
But now California is a unique state because it's so big, but she had been state attorney general. Like, what if somebody said, you know who we need for the Republican nomination? The Louisiana state attorney general that we talked about. But then again, who fucking knows? Trump, he'd never even been dog catcher. So, I mean, he had no difference. The rules might be out the window, though, in
yeah.
terms of this. Democrats look at it as experience works against us in a lot of cases, and maybe it does. When you look back at it, the person with the most experience has been routinely losing. Bill Clinton had way less experience than George H.W. Bush, and he won. George W. Bush had less experience than Al Gore, and he won. Barack Obama had less experience than John McCain, and he beat John McCain. And then now Trump, people keep saying Hillary, she's got all this experience. Trump has absolutely none, and American voters are like, yeah, kills me now is all this shit about, oh, Trump's White House is so disorganized and it's such a mess. Yeah, it might not have been a good idea to have a guy with zero experience take over the highest job in the land. And you would never see that in private business. What kills me is people going, I love a guy with all this and this in the government, etc. But in private business, when I apply for a job, they're like, oh, you don't have 5 years experience at an internship level that we need for this internship that's not paid. They want a ton of experience for shit that barely pays any money.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have like a park ranger become the CEO of General Electric. So why would you have a guy with government experience become president of the United States? A private sector would never do that either. Scoff if you told them you want to do something like that. Comes to New Jersey, Cory Booker, he's in the Senate. He's doing a great job. He could probably become governor of New Jersey. I mean, Chris Christie's over. Republicans thought of him as the great fat hope. If he can win New Jersey, he can win anywhere. Well, now he can win nowhere. New Mexico, Democratic senators, but a Republican governor. What is it with this? I mean, New Jersey had two Democratic senators. New Hampshire had two. New Mexico has two. All the states with new have two Democratic senators. And
yeah.
But the same people vote.
Yeah.
And Democrats have got a voter IDs and voter suppression. Well, it doesn't stop people when they want to vote for Barack Obama. If you have the same voter ID you used to vote for Obama, is the same one you're going to use to vote out a Republican governor. This is a blue state with a Republican governor. But I hear people say, oh, Charlie Baker, he shouldn't have won. Larry Hogan, he shouldn't have won. Bruce Rainer, he shouldn't have won. I don't hear people say Susana Martinez, she shouldn't have won. But I think we got to start looking at that as the same phenomenon. This is a state that Democrats should control. New York is another state we should control. The next one, people think that this is a trifecta state. They think this is a one where Democrats control it. We don't control the New York State Senate because of something called rogue legislatures. These are people who run as Democrats or they're part of the Democratic Party, but they vote with Republicans and they caucus with Republicans. 8 Democratic state senators that are independent. They're not a part of the Democratic Party. They're Democrat on the ballot, I guess. I guess that's why people keep voting these clowns in, but they vote independent and a lot of times vote Republican. Why not let Anthony Weiner get back in the game in one of these state senates? What if he ran as Carlos Dangerous? Maybe this could be the way for him to get back in the game. North Carolina, Pat McCrory, man, what a fucking dick. That guy must be one of the worst governors in America. Lost to Roy Cooper for the governorship, but when he lost, he contested it, and then he lost the recount. Unlike Siegelman, and unlike all of these governors in the Southeast for Democrats, where it's like, no, we shouldn't do a recount. It might cost us a pack of Tic Tacs. He got his recount, and he lost again, and then he's like, no, I refuse to go. Well, they drug this out for a couple of weeks. Finally, I guess he discovered that this is not Somalia. You can't have a coup. Like, you can't just stay in the governor's mansion. Like, the state troopers will come drag you out at a certain point. Before he was leaving, he passed the bill that basically limited the new governor's power. It made it a figurehead post.
Yeah.
It gave more power to the state senate and the state house representatives, which are overwhelmingly Republican. North Carolina is a state a lot like Georgia and Louisiana, where there's film production. There used to be a lot of TV shows and movies that filmed in North Carolina. It's southern states that have great weather, diverse pile, cities and woods and caves. Alabama has a beach, so you have about every biome you can think of besides desert. So these are really attractive states for film production, especially when they have a tax package. But Pat McCrory, he signed that transgender bill. This shows you the impact Hollywood can have. I wish Meryl Streep and Beyonce and all these stuff, I wish instead of giving concerts and giving speeches and going to rallies and telling people they're racist that they don't, I wish they would put their money where their mouth is. And they did this in North Carolina. They said, we're not going to film here anymore.
Yeah.
You're not for transgender rights. You don't support our politics. We're going to go to Georgia. And Nathan Deal didn't sign that transgender bill. He didn't do it, but Pat McCrory did.
Yeah.
And a lot of shit that used to film in North Carolina, he's now got that Georgia peach after it. And I think this is a brilliant strategy. I think this is what Hollywood should be doing. Just be going out there and being like, okay, guys, here's the cause of the week, and here's why you got to do this. Write a check to these state governments or say, I'm going to film in a state that reflects my values. You're going to literally see money leave your state if you don't become more progressive. North Dakota, Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp, but she's barely a Democrat, though. It's not inconceivable that she may change parties at a certain point. The opposite of Montana. They have one congressman. That's how state population is. I love these states where there's two senators and one congressman. Like, that shows you this. And California's got two, and we got 38 million people living here. Our population is half the Eurozone, and we've got two senators. You present this. I think that's why somebody like Kamala Harris looks attractive for presidency, because in California, it's like you're running a damn nation state. Ohio, it looks like a purple state. It sometimes votes Democratic for president, but they have 12 Republicans, 4 Democrats in the House of Representatives. Rob Portman's one of the senators. John Kasich's the governor. Their state legislature is mostly Republican. Only Sherrod Brown is really the only major Democrat out of Ohio. If it was just solely up to you, would you take President John Kasich over President Trump?
Yes.
Had to think about it a long time. Then you get to Oklahoma. Now, this is the most hopeless state of them all. Oklahoma is sad. Governor Mary Fallon, Senator Jim Inhofe. That Jim Inhofe, Mary Fallon combo, that 1-2 punch, that's bad. It's representatives, 5 Republicans. And then you go to their state legislature. So it's a trifecta state. Oregon is a trifecta state, both branches of state Congress and the governorship. Pennsylvania, we have Democratic Governor, Democratic Senator Bob Casey Jr. Pat Toomey is a Republican senator. A lot of people thought we were going to win that Senate seat last time.
Yeah.
They thought that was one of the winnable ones that was going to flip it. The top of the DNC's bucket list is get Pat Toomey out of there. That's one of their top priorities. What if they just get desperate? They just put like a car bomb, here's a Belfast hello, and they blow up this car with it. Even if they don't get the Senate back, they want Pat Toomey. I could see Republicans, we'll take 5 of the seats you currently have for Pat Toomey. We'll take it. That's a deal, you know.
Yeah.
But Pat Toomey's like, wait a minute. Arlen Specter had that seat as a Republican. Then he became a Democrat. Then Joe Sestak ran against Specter and beat him. A lot of people thought he blew that election against Toomey the last time. In the House of Representatives, they have 13 Republicans, 5 Democrats. That's obviously not great. It's like Pittsburgh on one end, Philadelphia on the other, and Alabama in the middle. Made progress by union voters, some of those liberal economic messages. This should be an easy state for us to win back. Things that you think are filmed in New York are actually filmed in Pittsburgh. It's becoming kind of like a mini Georgia, New Orleans. Again, Hollywood could have an impact. That's really the only source of liberal money right now is Hollywood, and they need to start spreading that around, purple or red states where they can have a real impact. Rhode Island, West Rhode Island, both senators are Democrats. Both House Representatives are Democrats. Democratic governor, both houses of Congress. It's a trifecta state. Smallest state in the damn country, but every little bit helps, right? You gotta add it up. South Carolina, Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott, senators. Henry McMaster is the new guy, took over for Nikki Haley. Then you got 6 Republicans, 1 Democrat, lone Democrat, James Clyburn. I feel like James Clyburn, he's got to have some kind of master plan tucked away in a folder somewhere. He gets all the Republicans at a meeting and then pulls a designated survivor or something. He blows up the state capitol when he's driving away in a limousine. Like, I told him I'd beat him one day. Maybe out Lindsey Graham, begin there.
Yeah.
South Dakota, you have nothing. It's hard to believe Tom Daschle was the Senate Majority Leader. You move to Tennessee, 2 Republican senators, 7 Republicans in Congress, 2 Democrats, Republican governor. Their congressional representation, they're one of the only southern states that have no black representatives. Even for Nashville and Memphis. Like Memphis, Tennessee has a white representative. Most other southern states, they have no white Democrats. You get a popular mayor of Nashville or a popular congressman from Nashville.
Yeah.
You let Trump get unpopular enough, you put the right guy from Nashville in there as the governor. The state begins to turn. It begins to fall. I mean, Al Gore, obviously, was a senator from Tennessee, and he was actually a progressive senator. He's one of those domino states. When George W. Bush gets so unpopular, they may sway more liberal. When Barack Obama leaves his office, they may sway more Republican. When Trump inevitably becomes extremely unpopular, you're going to be able to take some of these seats back. I think it's just one of those states where it's like, who's in the White House right now? A Republican. Okay, we'll be Democrats. Texas already should be a blue state, but they're not. John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, their senators, Greg Abbott's their governor, 25 Republicans and only 11 Democrats. You can't tell me that's not a gerrymandered state. You got San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, Austin. People used to say Austin was the People's Republic of Austin, but it's not true anymore. Houston and San Antonio, I know, are liberal. Dallas is getting on board.
Yeah.
It should already be a purple state.
Yeah.
Trump may become so unpopular that it flips Texas blue. Imagine Texas going blue again, in the presidential race. If we felt like Texas was a purple state, it'd be like, so long, Ohio. Nice knowing you. You would make a beeline. I mean, Hillary Clinton would be wearing cowboy boots. She'd have a fucking cowboy hat. You'd see Hillary Clinton at a fucking rodeo. California, New York, Texas, all going Democratic. It's over. and it's winnable. Unlike Utah, one of the most homophobic states in America, current Governor Greg Herbert, they have two Republican senators, they have four Republican congresspeople, including Jason Chavez, who they say is not going to investigate Flynn being a Russian spy. If this were Hillary, impeachment proceedings would have already started.
Yeah.
I keep hearing all this bullshit about, oh, Utah Mormons, they don't like Trump, he's so crude, he's so this, but Utah went for Trump anyway, so what good was it? Interestingly enough, Salt Lake City has a Democratic female mayor, a woman named Jackie Biskupski. In terms of how to flip Utah, that's a lost state, but if Jackie Biskupski wants to run for governor, God bless her.
Yeah.
Vermont is a state that should not have a Republican governor, but when you really go back and look at it, every other governor they've had has been a Republican. I didn't know this, but before Peter Shumlin, the last Democratic governor, was a Republican. Before him was Howard Dean. Before Howard Dean was a Republican. So they really do go back, forth, back, forth. This should be another trifecta state for Democrats. Fucking Vermont. It seems like the big focus that we're getting is that 2018 and 2020, we got to focus on those governor's races. That
yeah.
seems to be the takeaway from this. And that's a good gateway drug for Democrats, because you may never get a Democrat to be like, I wonder who's going to win the county commissioner's race. Like, you may never get them on board by school board and judgeship and district attorney races, but the governor's race, that's a good gateway drug to caring about state government. Virginia, Democratic governor, two Democratic senators, somewhat Southern success story. It comes down to government money.
Yeah.
Republicans come in there and say that they're going to slash federal jobs left and right, left and right, and a lot of federal workers live in Virginia. The government workers union obviously have a presence in Virginia where a lot of federal workers live, and I think they said, hey, if you want to have a job, don't vote Republican. Yet Hillary barely won that state. She picked Tim Kaine
yeah.
as her vice president. She had twice the rallies in Virginia. She won Virginia in the primary. She had all the government unions backing her, and they all have a presence in Virginia. It was very close. Voters being like, if Hillary wins, we'll have a job. If Trump wins, we may lose a Mexican. It's a toss-up. I don't know what we're going to do. Our worst turnout was in D.C., and they were bragging about it. A lot of people might live in Virginia and work in D.C. or vice versa. I don't know why that was almost a near loss for Hillary. Washington has a Democratic governor. One of their legislative houses is Republican, but they have two Democratic senators, six Democrats, four Republicans. That should be another trifecta state. That's a state that cares a lot about climate crisis. They care a lot about green jobs and the green economy. That we don't have a trifecta in Washington shows you that we have drifted from things people really care about.
Yeah.
West Virginia, there's Joe Manchin as a senator, and then there's Shelley Moore Caputo. They have three Republican congressmen, but they have a Democratic governor. They have Jim Justice. Jim Justice and the
yeah.
guy in Louisiana, they are now the sole Democratic governors in the Southeast. Democrats have somewhat held on, which is kind of a miracle, because it's a gun state, it's a coal state. It's another one of those states like Montana where you would think Democrats would be holding on, but they seem to be holding their own.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds of Joe Manchin switching to the Republican Party are?
I think it depends on if he gets challenged, like seriously challenged. I could easily see it happening.
I could too. Garland Spector became a high-profile defection. I could see Joe Manchin. That's why I'm a little bit worried, because I'm in 2018, there's like 23 Democratic Senate seats open. There's only nine
yeah.
Republicans open. I don't know that they can win back the Senate just because of the numbers. They have to hold every
yeah.
seat they've got. Well, Joe Manchin is one of them, by the way. And then Republicans have to lose two of their nine seats just to tie.
Yeah.
They have to lose
yeah.
three. Trump has to do some seriously fucked up. I mean, I think a war with China is about the only way. You have to really lose people. Be totally naked on the White House lawn, like rubbing his lips up and down, like bubbity, 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 bubbity. I mean, you'd have to lose it. What that Trump would have to do, like there'd be a video of him beating Melania or something.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, Scott Walker sucks.
Killing him.
They don't control the state. Right now there's a Republican governor. Ron Johnson's a Republican senator. They have five Republican congressmen, only three Democrats, and they do not control either branch of the state government. And they've actually
yeah.
lost ground, because at the height of it, they had 17 Republicans and 16 Democrats. This is at the height of the recall. They won a couple of seats. Now it went back down to 2013. So they've somehow lost ground, but they fought. And I think that that's important. They tried to recall Walker. They tried to recall the state senators, but they tried. I wish that other Democrats in other states fought half as hard as Wisconsin did to retake their state. In Alabama, we have a corrupt governor sitting in the mansion right now who quit pro quo the Senate seat to Luther Strange not to investigate him. I wish that a Democrat would even say, hey, let's impeach this bastard. Maybe they'll lose. They probably will. But at least they would say we tried.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the frustration. That's another reason turnout is so low. People feel like Democrats are pussies. When I was talking about what all we need to do, 12 steps to win back the party, I love what you said. You just said, grow some balls. If it feels like the party is fighting half as hard as the activist wing, you're going to see turnout increase. I really believe that. Okay, Scott Walker, he's had to run 3 times. And yeah, he won every time, but we forced him to do it. He had to spend a ton of money to do this. The state senators had this ton of money to defend their turf. If they felt like they were on the defensive, it's an inspiring message. So out there, how Democrats win back, fight, anticlimactic, postscript note, Wyoming is actually the last state in America. We'll just pretend it doesn't exist. Wyoming's biggest city is Cheyenne, Wyoming. Population 59,000. That's not much bigger than the town we came from. That's their biggest city. I remember the town we came from. There's a line of fast food restaurants. We had like 6 fast food restaurants. We called it the Strip. It's like a Burger King and a Sonic and a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let's go to the Strip. I mean, if we wanted to do anything, we had to drive to Birmingham without to do anything.
Yeah.
But can you imagine where we're at is as big as it gets for 1,000 miles. Let's go to Cheyenne to do something fun. I mean, what do they got? They got a Pizza Hut. You're going to love it. There's stuff because they bake the cheese in the crust. It's been an amazing run of episodes. I think this is the true climax of our series. I hope people learned a lot. Anything you want to tell our loyal listeners? There's one episode left. What are your parting thoughts?
Chris, still listening. Stick around for one more.
You passed the endurance test. I always close this out. Why not let long-suffering partner close this out?
Goodbye, everyone.